What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Mike McClure and Kristen Lawrence, otherwise known as Crow and Gazelle. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, and thanks for getting her name right.
I know. Heck yeah. Thank
you. Yeah, the other day someone introduced her as Chris Lee. She's been called Kristen Gazelle.
Yeah, or Giselle.
Giselle.
Yeah. We'll thank Susan for that too. Yeah. I know she got the name on there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, right on. Shout out to Susan. I guess before we really get into anything, just kind of let us know like what you guys have been up to lately, like been busy with anything. Like obviously we're going to talk about the record and everything, but just like what have you guys been up to? Shows, writing, like what you've been up to?
All the above, yeah. The last show we did was at Larry Joe Taylor Festival, which was cool for us because it was really full circle. That's the first time she heard my voice. It was like 2005?
Yeah, probably 2002. I was there as one of the drunk people watching Texas music. And I had never actually, somewhere there was probably a memory of something called The Great Divide, the band he had been in, but I hadn't seen him and didn't know about him. And so I didn't know who he was and then heard his voice. And so, yeah, it was full circle. We went and played there. And then we went from there to a farming conference. So we're all about, I lived on a farm at one point, an organic biodynamic farm 10 years ago before we reconnected. And it's always in there. And we're like in this place where we've been where we live for 3 years and we're like, okay, we've been here long enough. Let's start like literally putting down roots. Cause I, for one, never stay in any place long at all until we got together. And so we've been farming, and as any good farmer would do in the middle of a global crisis, we bought a mini donkey, not really a mini donkey, but he's a baby donkey. Yeah. So we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then we got an album coming out too. Yeah.
I'll talk more about chickens. I'm more excited about the birds.
Yeah, maybe. Right on. Yeah. And before we do start talking about the record, just so people could kind of get to know you and like, you know, I don't know who might not have heard of The Great Divide or any of that either. Just if you could describe the two of you's dynamic when you're together, writing, creating, and it might sound cliche, but can you describe like your sound, your style, anything like that? Just describe that dynamic with you two.
I think the main thing is we're both truth seekers, mm-hmm. you know, and just constantly looking for the truth in our own lives and around and in the world around us. You know, it's hard to find truth in the world, but we keep looking for it. And that looking for it is essential of what we do because all the songs are about digging in deep and, you know, bringing things up that are uncomfortable to talk about, uncomfortable to look at, and like, why are they uncomfortable? And, you know, so that enters in everything that we do, you know, everything that we write and perform. And when we perform, I'm playing acoustic, about to start adding electric to it, but she plays a stand up. It's just a four tom, and she's standing up and jamming away with me, which she kind of invented really. And, but I had a drum kit for some reason. I'd moved this whole drum kit to another studio where it got ruined in a flood. And then this one drum remained, and then she just started banging on it one day. And
just a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that way of, that was really beautiful, babe. But the being truth seekers, I think that's really what led to us even starting a band. I myself had only ever been on the other side of the music business as an agent. And I did videos for people in Austin when I lived there and, wrote in some journals, you know, and things like that. But once we got together, he helped me pull the truth of sort of what maybe I could be doing, what was possible, and how I had me playing kind of small and being hidden in the shadows was maybe not really where I was meant to be. In terms of just as a human, even not even as much artistically, although that as well, but, we got together, we'd known each other 20 years. We met, I heard his voice, like he said, and then I worked in the music business. I booked a pub in North Texas called the Iron Horse Pub in Wichita Falls and helped manage that back in the early 2000s when it was like, my God, we had every incredible artist would pass through there because there was nowhere between there and Lubbock or if you were going north, you know, Oklahoma. And so anyway, I later became an agent and was one of his agents. And we also had Hayes Carl and the original Band of Heathens lineup. I booked Brian Keene, who started the Heathens with those guys. And so I'd always been on the other side. And then we reconnected in 2018. And he just made room for me somewhere besides just back over here. And that led to us writing together, like me opening up to that and being vulnerable. And then we decided to form a band and put out an album. And we put the first album out in 2024. And it's called As Above Now, So Below, which is all about the seeker and knowing that not everything that we are meant to know is seen. Some of it is. The majority of it actually is unseen. And so it's like, how do we go down and to the depths and find what maybe we don't even know we're looking for? And I think that's really what we're about. And we kind of draw it out of each other just in our relationship, which can be both heaven and hell, actually. And so, and then we just, at this point, with making this second album and what it became, and just the growth we've experienced as humans. Yeah, that getting down to what is real is just why we feel like we're here. And to also laugh in between, to be ridiculous, to be free and liberated enough to be a weirdo, you know? And it's like, we're just trying to be comfortable in our skin. And I think to do that, we have to be able to call out the truth. Otherwise you're hiding something all the time or you're running from something. And both of those lead you to being afraid. And so we're just constantly trying to just be open to like what maybe feels uncomfortable and why, and to just put it into art or to put it into our garden, you know, and just lean into being less afraid and more alive. A little more, if you want a little more on who was the Great Divide, who is Mike McClure in terms of our duo, because I kind of said I came from, I mean, I was always a poet and a writer and a visual artist, but he's been a touring working musician since he was 19 or 20?
21.
Anyway, yeah. And formed the,
that's 10 years.
The OG, the, oh, he didn't like this, the OG of Red Dirt band was his band, The Great Divide from Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And going off what you were saying there, it's, what's really cool about your guys' partnership, and I did a big re-listen to your guys' stuff today and was fortunate enough to be able to listen to the new record, which, like I said, we'll get into that too. The cool thing, at least as a listener, when I listen to you guys, I feel like you guys are going on the journey like with the listener. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like you guys are still figuring it out too. Maybe like when you write and stuff like that, and something really cool, I have it pulled up here. I didn't want to say it wrong, but it's like a connection between two people healing, loving and growing together. And I think the cool thing about the healing part is that when I listen to music, and like when any music fan listens to music, that it does help heal them no matter what it is. And it's, I guess I've never thought about the other end of the coin to the artist, like healing by writing, I guess.
Yeah.
Can you kind of explain that a little bit?
Yeah, that comes from trying to heal myself as a writer, you know, speaking for me. It's trying to find my way through what everybody's going through. And for some reason, when I sit down with a guitar, whatever that gift is, it forms. And Yeah, I'm just as amazed by it as anybody, and I do it for a living. And wait, what is the question?
The healing. It's something to piggyback on about when you can get it out.
Oh, yeah.
When you can
and for me, it's yeah. You know, when I was a young writer, I was 21 or so, and I got to meet Guy Clark.
Mm.
And he told me, basically, he goes, "You're not showing your ass, kid." And I said, "You know, what do you mean?" And he said, "You got to dig inside and talk about what's real and be vulnerable to the crowd. Show them your ass. Yeah. He said, you're not showing your ass. And and when I was writing back then, I was writing, trying to write something that I thought people out there would like, you know, and that's how it started. And then after meeting Guy Clark and that, having that experience, you know, he's one of my heroes and still is a songwriting hero. And to be able to turn that, when I'm not looking out, I just started looking in. And, mm-hmm. and then looking in, I've got to talk about loneliness, depression, alcoholism, drug addiction, and also love and happiness. And, you know, it's because all of those things make us human. And I'm always trying to figure those out about myself. Mm-hmm. And when I can, you know, and Guy Clark told me that also, he goes, once you start doing that, it'll resonate with the crowd out there because they'll feel it and they'll feel your sincerity and, authenticity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to write songs that I don't believe in, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, and it's hard because some of the songs I wrote in my 20s are about drinking and partying and woohoo kind of shit, and
people love them,
and people love them, and I get that. It's just I'm not in that phase of my life, and mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm constantly trying to write new things and heal new parts of myself. That was a lot of those songs were from a point of view of trying to please a crowd, mm-hmm. you know, trying to write something that to me sounded like a John Mellencamp tune, a Robert Earl Keen tune, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, it's that process of just going in, and then that can reverberate out and people can feel it.
Yeah. And you kind of said there about, like trying to write songs to appeal to everyone over wanting to write what you really feel. And I think I was just talking about that. I think it was a John Bauman. I forget who I had on, but it was, I feel like when, as a songwriter, you kind of have to be, and I keep thinking of the word selfish, but in the way to, I want to put out what I want to put out. And like, there is a fine line there, I think, to like, yeah, I want people to connect, but like also at the end of the day, like I got to put out what I want to put out. And, mm-hmm. And like, obviously you guys have been around playing for a while, and like, you guys have, what's your outlook on that, I guess? Like when it comes to, is it like kind of like a selfish thing, I guess? That sounds like a bad, you know, connotation, but.
That's an interesting question. But yeah.
The one thing we've talked about, you know, the analogy in the airplane, and they're like, parents, or if you're near a vulnerable person, you need to put your mask on first, right? Mm. And it's like, it's not because, I mean, I want to save this 5-year-old more than myself. Mm. But if I don't first take care of myself, then I can't make sure that I'm around to take care of this one. And so for me, being an artist, it's that if I'm not being true to myself, especially for me, you know, I don't carry the beautiful artistic baggage that he carries, you know, the past, and like, how do you please the fan who just wants to hear his really big hits that are party songs when maybe, you know, he plays those, but maybe today I don't want to play them, right? And it's like, I think you have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's not really selfish. It's like, it's just being the best caretaker that you can possibly be for yourself and another. Because if I'm not nurturing myself and my truth and my artist in me, then I'm going to burn out and not give a shit probably at some point. And then, you know, that, I don't know, that doesn't feel worth it to me.
That's good. Yeah, you can't pour from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. And to me, the only way to fill it up is to dig into my own soul and write something and put it out. And having an attachment to what that does is something to overcome, I think, mm-hmm. you know, yep. because attachment is suffering, according to the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had to, like, I've struggled with looking at attachment to outcomes on Spotify, numbers, spin, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't even look at it anymore just because of that. What I do, the success of it to be, you know, the success of it is, do I like it? Do I think it'll stand mm-hmm. up? Will it still be around when I'm gone? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in the meantime, I've tried to put some things, I think, in categories like Great Divide. I still play with Great Divide, and there's this catalog of songs, and I go do them with the Great Divide.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got, sometimes I'll do Mike McClure Band.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but Crow and Gazelle is what I'm, it's my present.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm at now. And it takes a while for people to catch. I remember when I left the Great Divide, I went from playing to a few thousand cheering people every night to 30 confused people. Half wanted their money back. Because I made a lot of mistakes when I left, but a lot of it was just like, I'm not playing those songs ever again, and I'm doing these, and I'm out playing these new songs. And, you know, it just, when people come out to hear something that they expect, it's hard. So that wasn't a good way to do that. So yeah. I've been, over the years, trying to find a good way, which is, you know, I play all those songs that you might love, but it's at this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Crow and Gazelle, I may pull something out of there, but if I do pull something out of there, it's a deep cut, and it's probably different.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what this is. And those two can get along, but they don't have to.
Sure.
And, you know, which is being hard to figure out. Yeah. I've struggled with it over the years, honestly. And, yeah. But that just seems to be like a healthy way forward and a positive way forward. I'm yeah. super thankful of my past, and I'm thankful of my now.
And, mm-hmm. and it's like, how do we as humans honor that there's multiple parts of all of us?
Mm.
You know, there really are. None of us are one thing. You know, you're yeah. not just a host for this beautiful big podcast. You know, mm. you're not just the rowdy alternative. You're whoever you are and who you say you are, you know? Yeah. And I think that's one of those journey parts that we both are continually kind of peeling back. And of course, middle age, like, I think there are people in their 20s who maybe go deep enough and do the work, but some of it takes life experience, and it's just kind of getting older and going, well, what do I like and what don't I like, and what actually feels good?
It's just
a
habit.
What's a habit? Mm-hmm. And, you know, but soon you find out I'm all these different things.
Yep.
And to get to kind of nurture all the parts that you want and maybe work on and cut back on the parts you don't want to be so strong mm-hmm. and in control. It's kind of that, yeah, it's that same thing that he's had to do with the different bands. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, Mike, the way you put it is like how now this is your present. I think that's the best way to put it. And like, even as a listener of just music in general, like, you know, you get like, it's a tale as old as time, like, oh, so-and-so don't sound like you used to, or she used to, like, that's a tale as old as time. But when you do look at, instead of different projects, if you look at it as a time in someone's life and albums that sound different, you look at it as like a time capsule almost, is the way I think it's a lot easier to enjoy music that way and yeah. not really get all caught up with that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really cool perspective.
I got to thinking too, Great Divide is still my present as well, because we just put out a new song mm-hmm. and I really mm-hmm. enjoyed the process.
Oh yeah, you did. There's so much going on.
Yeah, there is. But that's great, you know? So it's like I get to inject some of my present
mm-hmm.
in that band, and then also live side by side to the past.
So yeah,
that's
right, been on. Resolve I just now realized happened.
Yeah, right on.
But podcast.
Yeah, of course. But let's talk about the record. Truth be told, I believe May 15th it should be out. And let me just say, like, I loved it. I like, there was like really cool moments in there that, so I'm a big, I just want to say my favorite one was Belly of the Beast. It was, it sounded almost like psychedelic to me, something like that. It was like a trance kind of thing. And I'm a big psychedelic guy. So like, it was, that one was my personal favorite. The whole thing rocked. And I was kind of, just another cliche question here, but can you kind of just let the audience know like what to expect from it?
Yeah. I do want to say, I love that about Belly of the Beast, that's going to be our next single. I'm not sure when this airs, but anyway, yeah, that's cool. Cause we love, that's an old song of his. There's a couple of songs on this album that are old Mike McClure songs that were on like MMB albums that I loved and wanted to sing from a different perspective, a feminine perspective, and rewrote a few lines, and that's one of them. And you know, like that song, to speak to what to expect from the whole album, it's all, it's sort of like, it is a concept album, first and foremost, and I think it's the part where it turns out we recorded this last summer and started writing it towards the end of 2024. And it speaks into, really a world that is apocalyptic, which apocalyptic being the actual word, which I think it's not just an end, it's a beginning. And it's looking at the revolution, really, just to get to it, the revolution away from so much harm and so much war. And you can feel people waking up to wanting to change the way we exist. You know, and it's like, how do we actually take, going back to nurturing and taking care of the other person? Well, we don't do that through violence. And we've just continued to evolve into a world that is led and shaped by violence instead of love. And this album looks at the feminine sort of leading that charge towards a world that is more centered around love instead of war. And so each song kind of just flows through like a conversation either between he and I, well, really not he and I, the characters, right? But it is also he and I. And then sort of just their inner workings of this struggle that they're going up against, sort of the status quo and the regime, and trying to fight for love to be sort of what we remember that we're really here for. And then I think we're seeing that, right? You know, across the world, we're seeing that struggle. And in this song, Belly of the Beast, that you brought up earlier, also goes into the idea that the next great war, you know, there's the oil wars, but it's going to be about water, right? And so that song, at least the way we perceive the lyrics in a way to fit in the whole album, is like really looking at that, you know, and that that if, as people, just as normal people, if we don't sort of wake up, I mean, and realize that the billionaires are the ones that are really taking everything from us and have been for some time. And this album kind of speaks into that as well.
They're just getting better at it.
So yeah, man, getting better at it.
Yeah. And when you do write a concept, that, how is that versus writing like, just, you know, like a normal album that you would have? Is there more challenging? Is it easier just because it's like a, you know, a specific storyline kind of, like, how was that?
This one just arrived, you know, and it wasn't something that was contrived. It arrived, and
we didn't, once it just sort of like,
whenever I can,
it all came.
I'm in a zone in writing, I don't know what it's going to be. You know, I don't ever try to tell it what it's going to do. With this, it just kept coming, and like, oh, this song is related to that one, isn't it? And then like, why and how, and they just arrive, you know, and it's not like, okay, what does this person need to do? We just figured it out on the fly when we were writing it. You know, it's like, these stories come through, you know, anytime that I've hit something that I feel like is really good. It's come through quickly. It hadn't been me scratching something out, going back and trying to get this right. It just
And when we first at the end of 2024, one of the songs on the album is a song that he had done before, and we had this new song, and so we were in New York, and we were kind of working on this new song called Watchtower, and then something in me went, it's like an electrical thing for me, and I'm like, wait, play, and so I told him to play this other song. And then we figured it out, and I was like, change the chords, like go down. And then we like, they blended together in a way, like flowed from A to B, right? And I was like, wait a minute. And then I went through some old phone recordings, and there was another song. And I was like, wait, these are all, there's something in common with all of these. Because we didn't set out to make a concept album. It's just that happened. And then everything in me went, this is it. And I started just writing like stream of consciousness through what this could be. And we had got home, and we have this big piece of paper, and we just started writing some words down that might be related to these things, kind of. And then it really was like,
that's my heart process.
Yeah, that's kind of my
mind's process. Like,
no, we did that, and then we just started. Then there was a focus. So like when he says that I'm not mentally trying, but I truly believe that we were supposed to write this album, you know, at least, as a way to move forward. Like some of these things had to be reckoned with for me, especially. I had to go through this, or I don't think I could have kept going. Like there were just things that needed to come up and through me, and this was the place for it to happen alongside him, because there were things that we had to talk about as a man and woman living in the world that we live in, that had to be reckoned with and discussed. Yeah. And this album was a place for it to happen. And then it's like artistically, once we started writing this album, all of these other songs came. It's like, and a lot of artists, a lot of writers will say that, you know, it's kind of like a dam will open, but it really felt like we were supposed to get some of this stuff through and released. Yep. And then so many songs have come and are ready, you know, since then. And so, yeah, it definitely, he had never done a concept album before. This is only my second musical album. And so this was a brand new thing for both of us. We should call up Willie. Get Willie on the third. Get Willie in the split screen. We'll see how he compares out.
Right on. But yeah, and another thing about it is that, like, I think if you look at all these albums just throughout time that are labeled a concept album, I feel like to some people it could be hard to get a grasp on it and like really understand it, you know, like without the context of it. But to this one, it's not like that, like in the best way. Like when you listen to it, you do understand what's trying to be said. And like, and I think that's like kind of a, you know, kind of a cool thing, is that like when,
yeah, it's subtle,
subtle, but also obvious. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a healthy mix of that, you know?
Yeah. No, that's cool. I'm glad.
Subtly obvious. I write that down.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But I also wanted to touch on this, and you mentioned like Spotify, like listeners and not being like all tied up in that, like, you know, when that's not your meaning of success. And I did see that this isn't going to be put on Spotify. No. And Spotify has obviously been in the news a lot for bad reasons. And I was wondering if you'd like to kind of touch on maybe your reasoning why you wouldn't want to put it on that or anything like that.
Support is so much AI. Mm-hmm.
And the war component, I think, for us, it was like, is like the where their AI money is going. You know, I mean, we can't stop AI, and I mean, it's in everything now. But
and they shortchange artists.
We can consciously choose where we put our art and our money a little bit, you know. And Spotify, between what happened in Gaza specifically, honestly, and the AI, like their use of AI, that's all documented. It, and you know, with this, you know, you have to, as artists, it's like, I mean, we didn't have a huge, huge thing going on Spotify, but enough, you know, and there's a lot of people that left us out in this album review cycle because we don't have Spotify. Because everybody links, you know, not everybody, so many people link now Spotify playlists to their publications. And so it's an interesting decision, but it's like, I wouldn't change it, it at all. And we just encourage people to support humans, you know, and you can do that by getting the album on Bandcamp. We have our album on Bandcamp, and then you can also, which really, it's like, everybody get there. Nobody really wants to go add an app to their phone, but it's also like, if you just took those like 5 minutes, you know, especially Bandcamp, like
Tidal's cool.
People can find Tidal's great. People, you can find so many artists that are not on streaming platforms on Bandcamp, which I think is so cool. Just like really weird collaborations and stuff, but I'm also a nerd, so I don't know.
It's cool though, and like, and you could even look at like the physical copy thing. Like, I mean, like Sturgill Simpson. I mean, he's obviously ginormous, but like Sturgill Simpson, like he took like number one after he put out his album, this Johnny Blue Skies album that was just all CD vinyl cassettes. And like, I think he overtook like Taylor Swift or something. Like, it's pretty gnarly. And Sturgill is obviously gigantic, but like, it shows that there are people who are willing to do that. Yeah. And hopefully other people jump on the train to do something like that. You know what I mean?
That would be honestly the goal for us. It's kind of like, just keep stepping in that direction. I think because you can see it more and more now, how people at shows, of course, they say show numbers are down, and I think they are, but people who do choose to go out and see live music and see humans making music, people are just so hungry for that connection. And I think physical copies of music and like things that, even though on the one hand, I hate merch to a certain extent, but having something to like hold in your hand and like look at, you know, is like invaluable in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, people like Sturgill and are really big artists, especially that. Yeah. On the one hand, it's easier for them to do that. But on the other hand, that's like making a huge stance, and it encourages other people to try to do the same thing. Cool.
Right on. But guys, thank you so much for hopping on here. I love to see, you know, I've been a great Divide fan for a long time, so it's cool to see you guys keep going, and this partnership is amazing. I love the album. I can't wait for everyone else to hear it, and it's like just another breath of fresh air kind of thing for me. And I said, thank you guys for hopping on. And just so people, I want to make sure I get all the platforms where people could find you. Just Crow and Gazelle on everything, or where can people find you guys?
We're on MySpace only.
Crow and Gazelle on all the deal, Instagram. We're not on TikTok, so don't even, I mean, maybe we are. There's some terrible videos. That was when I was like, oh. But anyway, everywhere we're Crow and Gazelle, and then crowandgazelle.com. We would love for you, if you do seek us out, sign up for our newsletter. We like to send out little tidbits there.
And we filmed a live show for quite a few weeks.
We took a break, but just to kind of...
It's on the Crow and Gazelle YouTube page.
Random live shows. So but thank you for like wanting to talk to us and taking the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Thank you guys for hopping on. This was great. And you guys make sure to do that. Check out them live shows too on the YouTube, like Mike said. So definitely do that. You guys can find Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything. Google us and we'll pop up. So thanks everyone for listening. Mike, Chrislyn, it was a pleasure. And we'll see you guys next time.
Sounds great, man. Bye. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause
baby, I'm